Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
As we get cranked up in our 3 o'clock hour here in Wintersville, to our friends listening up in New York on the 680 The Fan app, hi, how are you? Glad to have you guys aboard. The 3 o'clock hour of the show brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast. It's posted at 680 The Fan's website under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Let's start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to America's co-host, Chuck Oliver.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chuck.
What did I tell you yesterday?
I don't remember. What'd you tell me?
What did I tell you yesterday?
I don't know. Remind me.
Sweep them, bitches.
You're right.
The East is over.
I'm convinced the Braves just used William Contreras against Edwin Diaz to troll the Mets.
How'd that work, Matty?
Worked really well. Well, not William Contreras, but the weekend did. Wait, did you see the guy on social media who said, is Matt going to be more obnoxious than usual today? And I was like, F and A, Cotton. Are you kidding? Everybody won this weekend. Braves just swept the hell out of the Mets, kicked them out of town. Georgia Tech got a win with Brent Key. Georgia not the prettiest, but a dub is a dub, and the Falcons are in first place. Yes, I'm going to be more obnoxious than usual.
You just swept the Mets in a series, and you're worried about me.
I'm not worried about you. I'm dunking on you. Dunking all over him.
What an unbelievable weekend. The Braves, it was three, and there was nothing cheap. It wasn't like the Mets, finished the top end of their rotation in the previous series. It was as big time as it could be. Then the Falcons, Georgia got their dub, and Georgia Tech, look at them. So just about as good as it could be, man.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
The Mets set this up the way they wanted for weeks.
They got aggressive and ballsy.
The Braves did, too. Both teams set their rotations as if it was a playoff series, and it was. The Braves just won their first-round series. You beat DeGrom. You pummeled him about the head and neck. Then I heard, well, Max Scherzer's not going to let the Braves beat the Mets back-to-back night. That's what an ace does. And Braves pummeled him worse. Then I heard Chris Bassett's most underrated part of their staff, and he's been great all year, which he has been. And then the Braves beat him worse than they beat DeGrom and Scherzer. And I would say to the Mets and anybody in New York, that's what champions do. That's what great teams do. When you walk into a place and you're like, we're trying to take what's yours, well, sometimes champions are going to look at you and punch you in the face, and the Mets didn't get up.
How'd that work out, Matty?
Pretty damn well.
What happened there, pal?
Sweep.
And you still lost 2 of 3.
No.
Yeah, it is true. That's not you true. Idiot.
Oh, we got some for sale around 3:30. Charles, you want some numbers?
Oh, I love numbers.
Let's talk about Dansby and Matt Olson, because we talked Friday about who was going to assume the Chipper Jones role. Dansby was 4 of 11, 3 home runs, 3 runs scored, 4 RBI in the series. Matt Olson topped him. He was 5 for 10, 3 bombs, 4 runs, 5 RBI, and a couple of walks. He is locked in all of a sudden.
The bombs in 4 straight games?
He's got them in 4 straight. Did it in these 3 against the Mets, just like Dansby did. I thought the biggest takeaway in the series, couple of things. The Braves know how to win in this new format of baseball, which is hit long balls, dominate the bullpen. And you saw both on display this weekend.
Treated Friday, like I said, a variety of reasons. But Snit treated Friday night and the entire series like it was a playoff series as far as going to the pen and cycling through guys.
The only time he didn't was yesterday with Morton, which concerned me. It was like he gave Mort a little more rope than I thought he should have.
Maybe a product of Friday and Saturday.
Could have been. Braves out-homered the Mets 7-2. Braves bullpen pitched 12 and two-thirds, gave up just one run, and that was the Nito home run off of AJ on Saturday night. And the Braves beat up the Mets aces. So there was nothing fluky about what just happened over the weekend. That was domination by a better team.
Was it two bombs off of DeGrom?
Correct. Back to back. No, three off of DeGrom.
Three. That's right. Dansby, that's right. That's right.
And then the same thing against Scherzer on Saturday night. And then Bassett, who was just knocked out of the box early.
Yeah, Dansby got to him.
So the Braves can win the East tonight with a win or a Met loss against the Nats. You're going to find a little bit about the Braves tonight, only because they walk into a complete opposite of what they were just in. They fed off this crowd. I used to believe home field wasn't that important. I'm starting to change that over the last couple of years because the Braves love playing in this house where the crowd was off the hook. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was 3 days of a football atmosphere, and I think it fed for the Braves, and I think it got in the Mets' heads. But now you go to Miami where there will be nobody in the ballpark tonight. It's a 6:40 start. I hope Bryce Elder can give you six innings because the Braves are shorthanded in the pen tonight because you want to get this done tonight. You want to close out tonight.
Our final season in Orlando, our final spring was 19. There was a game. I thought it was a big deal. You laughed. There was a game where Tim Tebow and the Mets came to town. And there was a hush.
Tim Tebow and the Mets.
There were people scalping tickets to a spring training game.
They could have used him this weekend.
And there was more buzz that day than there will be in Miami.
Oh, it's going to be, I said there'll be 5,500 people.
Now, again, it's a major league team and they can pitch. We all know that. And they're letting Blade get his swings in. And so there's a great future. And I like the kid with the blue hair, too. He's awesome. But.
What are you doing?
Hang on. This is all the setup for it. It's a major league roster.
Kid with the blue
hair. It's going to be like a workout for them. The kind of thing where you hear the echo, the whack, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. It's not a bucket of balls and a net around the mound. I have to run to first. It's going to be the environment of a spring training workout.
Do you remember on Friday when, I know people were down around here, Thursday and Friday after what happened Wednesday night when the Braves lost the extra inning game to the Nats? And I said, don't wave the white flag on this team. And I gave you reasons. I said, they came back from 10.5 and cut it to a half. And they got down by 7 and you know, grabbed the lead. They were down 2.5 games 4 days earlier. And all of a sudden what they did this weekend reminds you again about this particular team. So while tonight will be tricky, it would also not surprise me to see the Braves put a 4 spot up in the first inning and just kind of glide their way to popping bottles post-game in South Beach, which if that happens, you want to lock it into the Fan and the Fan mobile app. We'll have all the coverage of a post-game celebration right here.
In the second to last week, I'm sorry, the last full week of the season, Braves gained 4.5 games on the Mets during a week when they lost to the Nationals.
Indeed.
That's just unbelievable.
We got a ton more on the Braves. Tom Glavine's about 20 minutes away and our very special musical tribute to our pal Sal and the Poverty Mets, so stick around for that.
Oh, yeah, they're going to win a division this year.
Sad.
Very sad.
Georgia is hopefully going to win their division. Saturday night was the most uncomfortable, I'm sure, Georgia fans have been around here in a regular season game in a very long time. When you're down 10 heading to the fourth quarter on the road in the SEC, you're going to be uncomfortable.
Even against a team you're way better than.
Doesn't matter. You've now given them a chance to do something special. Give Georgia credit. In the fourth quarter, they ran the ball better. They finally protected Stetson a little better, and they made plays. They won a game it knocked them out at number one in October. Who cares? I would tell Georgia fans, try not to freak out over what you saw, because I know people are trying to take what you saw Saturday and apply that to things moving down the road. I wouldn't. You won. You didn't win pretty. I would be more concerned about Jalen Carter, who left that game with a sprained MCL because Missouri tried to be dirty, and they accomplished their mission. It was a dirty play.
He didn't get posted. The kid
was engaged with an offensive lineman. They went low on him. That to me came back from the beginning of the game before the game with Jalen.
Yeah, it wasn't like, I'm saying it didn't post him. Like normally if the head up and you engage and then somebody just like dives the shoulder pad on the knee into that, but it's still something where you knew what you were doing. And you needed to stay away. And so it's going to be a couple of weeks for him. So that's kind of what it is.
So Georgia's three backs, Milton, McIntosh, and Edwards combined for $177 on the ground with 28 carries. Dejon in the fourth quarter was actually important.
Yeah, it didn't look that productive in the moment.
It's because you were watching them not consistently get anything going on either side of the ball. They held Missouri to 294 yards and 3 of 13 on third down, but it didn't feel like that either.
So Georgia wound up with almost 200 yards rushing. I'm like, it didn't feel that way.
Give Missouri credit for a couple of things. In an era where nobody kicks field goals well, and their own kicker cagged on a 28-yarder last week against Auburn, they made a 49-yarder, a 52-yarder, and a 56 that just kind of kept Georgia at arm's length for a good portion of that game.
Can I say two of those were touchdowns, though? Supposed to be touchdowns, including the one where the kid, the transfer who led Division II in rushing last year, man, he got caught at the 1-yard line.
Malachi
Starks. That kid went straight down. He's supposed to, like, fall forward across the line, and that didn't happen.
No. Georgia will host Auburn on Saturday at 3:30. I think I saw the number at 30. So
I don't expect that to be a competitive sort of
We didn't expect this one to be either, but, yeah, I would tend to agree with you. Mm. Congrats to Brent Key and Georgia Tech. They were a huge 22.5-point underdog, and it was not a pretty game. But they got out of Pittsburgh with a win. They don't care how they do it. They won 26-21 in some bad weather. They ran for 232 yards. Hassan Hall went for a 157 on 20 carries. Jeff Sims didn't throw it much or well, but he also rushed for 81, including a big run at the end of the game, and they got a huge
Hassan
win.
Hassan Hall is one of those kids I talked about go all the way back to when Jeff Collins was still the coach against Clemson, and he's one of those kids I said, I promise you, they got some fun offensive pieces. They haven't blocked anybody, and so that was the issue. I was like, they can just block, but Hassan Hall was one of the transfers. Dylan McDuffie, the kid from Buffalo. There were some other – Deontay, who's been there forever. So it was nice to see some of these kids kind of stretch their legs a little finally.
Give Georgia Tech's defense credit, too. They forced three turnovers, got a couple of sacks.
Did you see Charlie Thomas?
I did.
He was defensive player of the week, played half a game.
Well, we know how special he is. Now you just got to have him –
a hell of an accomplishment.
Stop getting targeting calls on him. All I can think is what Jeff Collins was wondering and thinking and watching as he's seeing that performance on Saturday night. We'll talk to the interim head coach of the Jackets, Brent Key, around 4:30. Duke is in town Saturday at 4 o'clock with the action here on The Fan. And the first place Atlanta Falcons, that's a true story. Falcons beat the Browns 23-20. That's their second win in a row. That's almost a streak.
Don't care.
I do.
You guys ranked as 45th.
Falcons defense.
He buried us in May.
Who didn't play great during the game, but in the first drive, when I thought Kevin Stefanski should have kicked a field goal to get points, wanted to go for the touchdown, the Falcons stopped him on 4th and 4. End of the game. Grady got a big sack, and then D. Alford comes up with the pick on the final possession for the Browns. And there was a point in this game where the Falcons just stopped trying to throw the football in the NFL in 2022, and they still won.
Yeah, it's called the second half. Is when Huntley started getting a bunch of carries.
Huntley had a big game. He finished... He had one drive where he had 54 yards rushing, but he finished with 56 and a touchdown. Tyler Algier had a big game. 10 carries, 84 yards. CP had 38 yards and a touchdown. Well, they pulled him off the field. Yeah. Then they put him on the field late. Now he's gone under a procedure today, so he'll be out 4 weeks on IR. And Avery Williams also had a 21-yard touchdown. CP will be a big loss for the Falcons, but I'll say the same thing over and over. When you have the threat of a running quarterback, you're going to be able to plug and play with a lot of backs and have a chance. And I'll say their offensive line plays very well with the run game. It really does.
And for all the positives, and there are a lot of them, they're tied for first place.
Yeah, they are.
Sort of.
No, it's not sort of. They are.
Well, they don't have the division record in the conference.
No, they're in first place.
So for all that.
Hater.
And my understanding is Marcus Mariota was like an honor student at Oregon. Like, he's a bright guy.
Mm-hmm.
He does some mysterious stuff in the pocket.
He's just not very good.
He just, the football, like the physical part, the football gets slippery for him and his feet get slippery somehow. But he just does some different sort of things. He's very unaware in the pocket, it seems.
I will give the Falcons credit on one more thing. They find explosive plays, man. They had a 42-yard run yesterday, a 42-yard catch. And 5 other plus 20-yard plays.
Well, you mentioned, like, the Avery Williams. I remember him being on the field, like, 3 plays. One of them, are like, here, we're going to give you the ball, 21 yards.
They find a way to get those. So Falcons are in Tampa. Battle for first place on Sunday.
It's time to wing it. Brought to you by Wingin' Burger Factory. With over 50 Atlanta locations, find yours at WNBFactory.com.
Take your Wingin' It idea answers at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Dansby Swanson, we always hear this about him. He's got it. Who else in sports or in life has it? The it factor. And I always like to tend to think it's not a star player. Star players always have it, right? I mean, Michael Jordan and Joe Montana had it. They were stars. Think about a guy like Robert Horry, who's an example of what I mean. Robert Horry was an above-average NBA player at best. But when you get the nickname Big Shot Bob, it's because you continue to hit these big shots at the end of games because you don't have a conscience and you hit those shots. So I will go Robert Horry, an example of he had.
I'm gonna violate your rule a little bit, man. Joe Burrow
doesn't count. Star player.
I know he's a 1-1. There was no doubt.
Became a star.
Stud.
Did Dan say something? That was Chuck's choice.
Cut him off.
Brandon Joseph. Oh, happy returns, by the way.
Thank you.
Hope the new additions are doing well.
Your baby's ugly.
Called his baby ugly.
I didn't call his baby ugly.
Maybe he's good. Yeah. Kind of sits there and eats a lot.
10 fingers, 10 toes.
10 fingers, 10 toes, and a big head.
Drinking off the tap?
Off the tap.
Right.
Every hour and a half.
Yeah.
Andre Iguodala.
That's a good one. It's a very good one. Not a star.
4-time NBA champion.
And an NBA Finals MVP. Very good choice.
And lost a slam dunk contest that was stolen from him.
You gotta let that go. Daniel Matthews.
Jock Peterson.
Great example. Not a star player, but...
See, this sucks. You go to me first, and I don't have a chance to think of a good one.
I'm sorry. You should do a better job.
I don't think you are. I think you like it. You set
you
this
up. You had a great one. You had a great one.
The sheet came out 2 hours ago. I can read it. What do you want me to tell you? Hoyt, who's got it?
I don't have access to the sheets.
Oh, sorry. Hoyt, you want to guess, or you just want to...
Stetson Bennett.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
Stetson Bennett.
Oh, shot after shot, 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 shot. Now all of a sudden you love Stetson. He's got it. What a jerk you are. So you'll send us your answers of who's got it to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. The Hall of Famer Tom Glavine is 15 minutes away. I've talked to Glavine about the Spencer Strider scenario for the Braves and how they're going to work him into the postseason rotation or in the bullpen. Coming up next, though, we asked you who would take on the chipper role.
A broken down third baseman.
Chuck.
Didn't say it.
I heard you. No, I meant as a Met killer. Well, now we know. Plus, if you've ever wondered what New York crow tastes like.
Think I'm going to have respect for the Atlanta sports town? That loser sports town?
You'll hear it next.
No chance.
What a Monday. What a great city to be right in the heart of this sports world that we live in, where the Braves have a magic number of oon to clinch another NL East to win a fifth in a row after disposing of the Mets. We'll talk to the Hall of Famer Tom Glavine about that coming up shortly. I want to ask Glav about Spencer Strider's situation and how the Braves can best utilize him coming off an oblique injury. So we'll talk to Glav about that. What they just did to the Mets and more from the Hall of Famer.
I hate the Mets!
Well, sorry about that, Licata.
Nobody hates the Mets more than me!
We got something for him coming up in 3 minutes, a very special musical tribute to Sal and our friends in New York. But the 3 p.m. hour is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. So we asked the question on Friday, who would assume the Chipper Jones role? Who would step up and be the Mets killer? The way Chipper was way back in the day during that 1999 playoff push where he won the MVP and the Braves won the division. Well, it turned out to be two guys, Dansby and Matt Olson, as they had both huge weekends. They combined for 9 hits, 6 home runs, 9 RBI, 8 runs scored. It was impressive, but they weren't the only ones. And Chuck, here's the difference in the Braves and Mets. In that series, which was a playoff series, the Braves just won their first round series. They had so many guys step up with a moment, at least a moment, if not more. Max Fried, who was sick before the game, but nobody knew it, including Snit. And in the fifth inning, they shoot the dugout, and he's there yacking into a trash can.
He was down. That happened too.
That's his flu game. Thank you, Max. Austin Riley, home run to tie game one. He had 5 hits in the series.
Just like some saltines and Gatorade. And
he must have been really feeling awful to come out the way he did. We mentioned what Dansby and Olson did. Travis d'Arnaud, the big hit in a classic at-bat. That was a fantastic at-bat off Bassett last night to give the Braves the lead. Orlando Arcia had 4 hits in the series. Kyle Wright picked up his 21st win, and then there's the bullpen. McHugh, Dylan Lee. Wow, Dylan Lee. Raisel Iglesias, A.J. Minter, and yeah, Kenley had a scary Friday night. Go look at what Kenley did Saturday and Sunday. He was lights out. So you had all those guys do something in the series.
Defense, Harris, defense, Riley.
How about Dansby? Go Dansby.
Defense,
Dansby made a couple of like.
Okay, now hang on. I'm not going to gripe because I'm not a griper.
Well.
There was a ground ball that got past Olson I thought he could have died for.
I think we all kind of thought that was a very weird one.
All right, but beyond
that.
No,
but you're not wrong on that. But
defense, Dansby, defense, Harris.
Now do the Mets. Tell me you had big moments. Because it wasn't Scherzer.
Vogelbach yesterday or last night.
He did have a homer. Now do their stars. Scherzer, DeGrom, Alonso, Lindor, Zilch, 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 Zilch.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're asking guys like Mark Canha, right? And they're asking Tomas Nito and poor James McCann and Francisco Valdez.
Nito had a moment.
Yeah, he had a home run in the eighth inning that cut a lead from, what, 3 runs to 2 runs? But what a mess. Now, that team, to their credit, is potentially going to win 100 games. They've overachieved greatly, and they've done it on the backs of their pitching. But you look at that roster, 1-26 compared to the Braves, and tell me what you think. It's night and day.
And one of their three most important players and one of their three best players is 38 and his side hurts.
Can I give you another one of their best players?
Ish happens, man. When you're 38, ish happens.
Edwin Diaz didn't get to play. He had four pitches in the series.
It was as if he weren't on the roster, and Marte really didn't play.
Well, yeah, he's hurt. But in Diaz's case, that's the only problem with being the closer is you might not have a role at all if your team doesn't do the first eight innings right. I thought Buck would have used him in the seventh or eighth just to get him out there instead of Tyler McGill or instead of some of the guys he used in middle relief to keep the games closer.
There are very few roles in any sport where it can be a key part of your team that an entire series can come and go, and there literally is no real application for you. Mm-hmm. And if you're limited to the eighth, but really the ninth inning, I don't know, Showalter could have brought him in the fifth. But in his role, and so what a role. And he's he's as effective as any player on their roster this year.
All right, Glavin's coming up in a few. This is about 3 minutes long, but it's so good that we have to really kind of give you an idea of where we've come as Braves fans since June 1st when the Braves were, quote, dead and buried, unquote. But poverty franchises like the Mets, who are climbers, will always look to climb up that ladder. And the Braves as champions will just knock them down a rung.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
That's right, it's a wrap. No one is touching the Mets. Tweet me the hate all you want about the jinx. Nonsense. The Mets will be National League Eastern Division champs, and I don't even think the Braves are going to challenge them. The NL East is over.
The 2-1. Fly ball to right. Rotto is under it, and the Braves have won 14 games in a row.
The Mets are only going to get better, and even if the Braves do turn it around, it will be too late. The NL East is over.
No balls and two strikes. Here it comes. Austin Riley goes down looking at a 101-mile-an-hour fastball. Diaz strikes out the side, and the Mets overwhelm the Braves in this critical August series here in New York as they win 4 of 5 on their home field.
By the way, he's quiet. I tweeted Matty Chernoff. He's quiet all of a sudden. He was chirping a lot before the series. How'd that work out, Matty? What happened there, pal?
Yeah, they seem to be having a lot of luck right now offensively, so that's great. It's August. We'll see what things are like in October.
1-0, hammer to center field. Nimmo going back, still back. That is out of here! Riley just lit that one up. Straightaway center, and a 1-1 ball game. And he launches one to right field, rising through the sky. Nothing but the taillight showing on this one. That is gone. Back-to-back home runs, Riley and Olsen. Again, the 2-2 pitch. Tipped into the mid, strike three, Braves win.
How'd the Mets do head-to-head against Atlanta?
And they're back in a tie for first place with the Mets as they get it done. What a battle.
I need the Mets to win this damn division.
Swung on, driven to left center field and deep. Nimmo going back. He pulls up. He watches it sail out of here.
Shut up. Home run, Swanson.
Pitch on the way.
Got him. Swinging strike three.
And the Braves beat the Mets again.
Shut up with your beak. Who are you? Who are you?
Be grateful.
Who are you? Get lost.
Into the air towards deep right center field. This has got some distance on it. And that one is gone. Dansby lays the lumber. 1-0 Atlanta. He's done it again.
Curveball swung on. Belted. Go ball. Get out of here. Deep right field.
Congratulations, Joe. You've had your moment. Now never call me again. Goodbye.
Matt Olson does it again.
Pitch on the way. Fly ball to right field. Acuna going back. Acuna is there. He's got it. And the Braves have swept the Mets and dealt them a devastating defeat.
When was the last time the Braves had a better record than the Mets this year?
You come at the Kings, you better not miss.
The Mets are better than the Braves.
And how do you say that? No, I'm not. I'm watching the game. They came into Atlanta, Georgia, and the Braves took them down three times. And the magic number's down to one for this ball club that now has 100 wins on the year.
Who are you? Be grateful to make the playoffs. Get lost. You sound like an idiot.
The NL East is over.
Maybe next year.
Oh, screw next year. I wanted it this year. I hate the Mets. You people in Atlanta think you hate the Mets. Nobody hates the Mets more than me. I hate them for all the pain they've caused me over the years.
Good night, Braves fans.
See you soon.
He's a Hall of Famer, an Atlanta legend, and again this season, he's only on one station.
There it is, career strikeout number 1,000.
Struck him out. Seven strikeouts through five. Hasn't allowed the Indians a hit.
And that's 300 wins for Tom Glavine.
It's the Tom Glavine Show, presented by Brown & Company Jewelers on Holcomb Bridge Road in Roswell and Peachtree Road in Buckhead, and by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
All right, this gentleman was once a Met, but we don't hold that against him. We consider him one of our own. Former Brave Hall of Famer, Tom Glavine.
Tommy!
Joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Hi, Tommy. I say hello, Tommy.
Sorry, I had you on mute there for a second. Let me start over. Chucky!
I left the Sanford game at halftime. Somebody stole my hibachi.
Oh, no. Really?
It's worked so much better in rehearsal. Yeah. It always works better in rehearsal. Tommy, let's go with top-line thoughts. I mean, that was three games of an ass-kicking that the Mets lined up their best, and the Braves went out and took care of business.
Well, they did. I mean, you know, it's probably always a little bit more gratifying when, you know, the team you're chasing lines up their rotation with their best guys and you go out there and you beat them. You know, so I don't think you could ask for anything more as a Braves fan or as a Brave is to go into that series facing DeGrom and Scherzer game one, game two, and, you know, take care of business and sweep the series. So obviously probably an understatement to say it was huge, but I think psychologically, it was every bit as big, like I said, to be able to beat those two guys.
You can include whatever details you choose, but sometimes I guess if you're a grown man, you got to go to work even when you're not feeling your best. How did you get through that in what was already a supercharged environment if the plumbing is not quite what it needs to be and you still got to go out and perform?
You know, it's hard. I mean, look, it's one of those things that, you know, you go out there enough times. And there are going to be things that are wrong. You know, I say it all the time that, you know, you're going to go out there some portion of the season and not have your best stuff for some reason, right? And sometimes it is you don't feel good. So to Max's credit, he was able to go out there and gut it out in a game against another guy that's pretty damn good that he was pitching against. So to go out there and do that and give his team a chance to win was huge. But I think that's your mindset. When you know you don't feel good, whether it's physically or you know, actually got some sort of ailment, I think your mindset just becomes go out and go as long as you can and see what you can do. And fortunately for Max and the Braves, as long as he can go was good enough to get him a win.
Glav, I wanted to ask you about Strider, but I'm going to frame it this way. Let's say they give him the green light, he's healthy enough to pitch in the postseason. It will have been 23 or 24 days since his last start. Now, when he starts throwing this week and ramps up, I'm sure they'll have him, you know, try to get himself back into whatever game speed looks like. But to step back onto a postseason stage, what would you do if you were making a decision? Do you want him starting a game? Would you use him as a relief arm just to spot him? How would that look for you?
I mean, it's a tough call now. I mean, I guess so much of it depends on, you know, who would you use in place as your fourth starter? Do you feel comfortable with whoever that person may be? If you know, you're comfortable with somebody, then I think it makes it a little bit easier with Strider to get him back up to speed. Now, hopefully the Braves take care of business here and clinch this thing and have a bye going into the first round, and he has time to throw some simulated games and do some things and get himself close to being back to normal. And then if he's coming out of the bullpen, you know, if you're Snit, you can pick a spot. You can pick a low leverage spot somewhere along the line, whether you're up or you're down, and get his feet wet and then go from there. If you're going to start him, that's a little bit different scenario. Maybe you start him, but, you know, kind of do what you did with him earlier in the year, which is a little bit more of the opener mentality, and just kind of see what you can get out of him, and have somebody, you know, ready behind him to piggyback.
Kenley was such a monster this weekend, but we know he ain't a kid anymore. Is that a conversation that Snit has with him maybe before the series, or is it like on a Sunday morning or whatever? You're like, hey, if I need you, or do you even verbalize that, or do you, he's a veteran, he assumes he has to be ready?
I think he assumes he's going to be ready, but I do think you have a conversation with a guy like that, or any guy for that matter, going into a series like this, knowing the importance of what it was, and you say, hey, if we have an opportunity to win all three nights and I got to throw you three nights in a row, you okay with it? And I think you have that conversation. Look, managers try not to do that. They generally only do it in high leverage situations, which obviously this past weekend was. So I think, you know, Kenley's been around long enough, he knows, he understands that. And I'm sure they had a conversation that, you know, essentially was along the lines of, hey, you know what, if I use you Friday and Saturday, you know, Sunday a possibility, and I'm sure it's left with, yeah, let's, you know, let's get to, if we get to that point and you've used me two nights in a row, then let's see how I feel on Sunday and we'll go from there. It's not going to be a situation where you just automatically rule it out like you probably would do in a regular season.
Yeah, Snit said as much, that Kenley came in Sunday, and same thing with Rysell, and they were like, we're good if you need us, and that played out. Now, that leads me to tonight, Tommy. You're going to go from one of the best atmospheres you'll ever be a part of these last three nights, full of juice and excitement, to South Florida, Monday night, 6:40 first pitch. There might be 5,000 people in the ballpark. Braves are going to have a short bullpen. Elder, who was great last time around, is still, you know, very young in this. Like, tonight's a weird kind of a game if you're the Braves to try to navigate.
It is, for all those reasons you just said, the biggest one being the emotional side of it. I don't worry about that so much. You know, this is a veteran team. They know what's in front of them. Snit's going to have them ready to play as much as he needs to. Like I said, I don't think this group of guys needs any cajoling, so to speak. They know what the deal is. So they're going to be ready. Now, it may look flat at times, maybe, just even to us, to the naked eye, so to speak, because we all get caught up in the emotions of last weekend too, and it's not going to be that. So, you know, I'm not worried about that part of it. I think you worry more about, you know, who's available, how you're going to navigate through that. You know, you're not going to probably have Kenley available tonight, right? So
right.
Maybe some other guys. So you're going to have some guys, some things you're going to have to navigate through tonight. So it might look different to us watching the game. But that's the beauty of doing what they did. They're in a position where they can do that. And I like their chances of winning one more game, but I don't think anybody in that locker room is taking that for granted.
I would agree. And the champagne on ice, so hopefully it ends tonight where they can celebrate a fifth consecutive championship and get ready for the postseason here with a few days to rest. Tommy, it's always a pleasure, my friend. We'll catch up with you again next week for the postseason.
All right, guys. Look forward to it. Have a great week.
You do the same. The Hall of Famer Tom Glavine with Chuck and Chernoff weekly here on the program. And nobody knows postseason baseball, the ins and outs of it, better than Tommy G. So he'll be a great asset for us as the Braves hopefully find themselves making a trek to another championship.
Boom.
Coming up next, it's time to get naughty. Front office Los has got the naughtiest numbers of the weekend, and he gets so naughty we have to go back 60 years to find a pair of Braves who accomplished this feat.
Really beautiful feat.
Not those kind of feet.
Do you mind if I touch them?
It's a feat, like an accomplishment, not feet. Like,
wow, they're like really soft.
Not F-E-E-T. Doesn't matter. Los will get naughty next. This would be a first place Monday, a winning Monday. It's an Atlanta Monday with Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
That was the 1996 World Series.
Are we doing stuff from 26 years ago? Is that what we're doing?
Or 1999. How'd that go down?
Poor Sal. I feel bad for him.
Team of the 90s. Except when it mattered the most.
I told him when he was on with us many months ago. We've invited him back since, and he hasn't wanted to come on. I've got Dan Matthews reaching out to him to see if he'll come on again, but I know he's probably a little frightened. I wasn't, like, mad at him. I felt sorry and sad for him. I told him the day we had him on that New York celebrates regular season stuff. And that's why I was sad for him. But I'd love to have him on the program. We'll see if he's willing to join.
The analysis.
Full credit, because I would not have even thought to calculate this. But someone tweeted to me. Actually, Chris Colley, everybody, Chris Colley, tweeted to me something this morning. The Pittsburgh Pirates have more NL East titles than the Mets.
Yeah, but they celebrate June stuff like they've done something. I know.
Pirates haven't been in the East since...
They moved to the Central in whatever year, the 95. Yeah, I know. Listen, it is what it
is.
Damn,
Mets!
Join Shalini and Domino and Chuck and Chernoff tomorrow. We'll be live at Hooters at 2977 Cobb Parkway, right near Cumberland Mall.
That's just right down the street.
Just off of Roswell Road and just kind of behind there, Sandy Springs Circle.
Chuck, don't talk over you. We'll be there from 11 a.m. till 6. We'll be registering folks to win 4 pairs of Atlanta Braves postseason tickets, compliments of Hooters.
Whoa. What are we giving away?
4 pair of Braves postseason tickets. Of course, we'll have 680 gear and those amazing Hooters chicken wings and libations. Chiellini and Domino, Chuck and Chernoff, Hooters Cumberland tomorrow, 11 a.m. till 6 p.m., and your shot to win Braves postseason tickets.
Ooh, naughty numbers.
He's the man that knows the cap bonuses and all of that. He's the one that gets you cut. Front office, so don't give a word. He's the guy who knows the law. Can't put him against a wall. He's the guy with all the answers. Matt and Sugar's backup dancers. Front office, no, knows it all. Front office.
All brought to you by Entry Point Doors and Windows. It's that time. Change your home, not just the beauty, the value of your home. Do it with Entry Point Doors and Windows, who's been doing this work for 20 years in Atlanta. EntryPointAtlanta.com. Sign up for the free estimate. Before I get naughty, I have to admit that, Matt and Chuck, I have been naughty myself.
Oh, what'd you do?
So I thought, because of new baby man, Brandon Joseph was just had his baby, I thought he was going to be gone. I stole his read pack for the week because I didn't think he was going to be in the office.
I think he was sort of like cajoled a little bit, because when management kept texting him, hey, congrats on the baby, how's mom, when will you be back, hey, you feeling good, when are you going to be back? Like, I think he sort of felt like he had to be here.
I've felt that pull before. Uh-huh. It just kind of happened that way. Yeah. All right, let's start with this.
I got that with weather. I got that with, hey, if it's too dangerous, don't come. I was like, I don't think I can get out of my driveway. Well, Nick and Chris made it in, but if it's too dangerous.
The passive aggressive. I love it.
Kind of remember that one, too. Matt and Chuck, are y'all sitting down?
Indeed.
Yes.
This from Elias Sports Bureau. So today marks the day where the Braves... It's now their third day of holding the NL East all by themselves in first place. The Mets held it for 170 days.
Yay.
3 days, the Mets held it for 170.
Do they get can we print shirts for that? Because, like, in New York, that seems like something these days they would brag about.
Because you'll have it for 5, hopefully, if things go well, like hopefully tonight. You'll have it for 5. They'll have it for 170. They get to hold the banner up there. Similar to what we used to have at the arena with the sold-out shows, we would have like a 170 banner.
Correct. Way to go, Mets.
All right. How about this? This is also from Elias Sports and backed up by ESPN Stats and Info. So we had the number of what Dansby Swanson and Matt Olson were able to do. You guys talked about it. They were the guys in this series, each hitting 3 homers, 1 in each game. If you want to find a pair of Braves teammates that did that over the course of a series, you have to go back to 1961 when Eddie Matthews and the great Lee May did it against those Giants in 61.
61 years since something like that happens to the Braves. That duo just did it in the most important series of the year, which essentially was a pseudo-playoff series.
It was huge. Yeah. It was monstrous. All right, let me jump into a couple of UGA numbers. This is for my man Dave McMahon over at UGA Sports. Just when you want to talk about something that, you know, he's been doing it all year but didn't happen, Stetson Bennett failed to score a rushing touchdown for the first time this season. Kind of strange. Not very strange. Brock Bowers, so he's now played 20 career games. I think it feels like he's been around a lot longer because he just makes plays. He had 5 receptions. That is now the 8th time in 20 games. Remember, he's a tight end where he's been targeted, obviously, but he's had at least 5 receptions in a football game.
I must think if there's a game where he has less than 5, either he didn't play or something went horribly wrong, because to get him the ball 5 times seems like a baseline.
Yep.
And now how about this? The Bulldogs gave up 22 points again. You have to go back to November 7th and the 21st of 2020, the last time they gave up back-to-back 20-point games. That was Florida and Mississippi State, so that was conference play, but that's where you're having to go back to. Again, that was a pretty good defense on their own right, but you have to go back 2 years in order to find that. All right, NFL stuff. Next Gen Stats and Info, one of my favorite places to always go. So it kind of felt like it was a bit of a kick in the groin in the fourth quarter when Nick Chubb decided to navigate the entire Falcons defense and go score. Okay? That's what it felt like. So Next Gen Stats and Info, they always calculate, all right, what were the chances of that happening based on the play, based on the number of defenders, everything else. So when Nick Chubb got that ball, he had a 1.2% chance of scoring a touchdown. He had 23 rushing yards over the expected on that run. He also now, when you talk about what he's been able to do in the league, you want to talk about breaking tackles and making plays, since 2018, he's had 1,245 more rushing yardage than expected. That's 287 more yards than any other running back in the league.
That play yesterday you're talking about, I mean, I saw that kickout block, and by the time he hit the line of scrimmage, I was like, damn, he may be gone. And so it was, it turned into the Red Sea.
It did. It was shocking. And again, based on what was going on in that football game where it didn't really look like the Browns could consistently put anything together, that suddenly was, oh, my God, that might be the killer. And it turned out it was.
I don't know how you tackle him and Kareem Hunt. Like, I watch guys bounce off him in a way.
Is he related to Mike Hunt?
I don't believe they are relation. I felt like Los, I didn't see the stats till after the game. I'm like, Chubb's got to have 190 yards. Like, it felt like he was just in the open every time he ran the ball after, you know, breaking through two tackles. I almost felt like it was okay to hold him to 118.
It's interesting you bring that up because Next Gen Stats and Info did this as well. So they call it their pony personnel. That is when they have Kareem Hunt, not related to the other guy,
right,
and Nick Chubb on the field. They did it 16 times. That's more than the three times they've done it so far. The most they've done in any game is five. They did it 16 times against the Falcons yesterday.
I would do it more. I've always talked about this. Give me my best personnel on the field as many times together to make the defense more uncomfortable. Why wouldn't you?
All right, how about another fun one? This is from OptiStats, who it used to be Stats by Stats, but they changed it. They sold it. It's now a different company. But anyway, OptiStats. Tom Brady is the first player in NFL history to complete 75% of his passes for over 350 yards with no interceptions and yet lose the game by double digits. Nah. That's what happened last night to him. Nah. That's what Pet Cat can do to you at times.
Loser.
All right, how about this one too? You'll get a big one out of this.
Can I stop you for 1 second? How perfect is my weekend? Braves did what they did. Falcons did what they did. My Sunday started with the Saints losing and it ended with the Bucks losing. Like, I'm sorry. I'm filled with sports hate and I admit it, unlike other people. That was a perfect weekend all told. Perfect.
Well, that's how you ended up in first place in the NFC South.
Yes.
How about this number two? Next Gen Stats. This is the confusing one of the weekend. So entering the play, the Ravens' win probability was 67% had they converted that touchdown. Now, it would have gone up to 84%. They would have just kicked the field goal, 67%, take the touchdown, it's 84%. The fact that they went ahead and ran the play they did, their chances of winning in half. That is the one thing of the weekend where I don't know what Harbaugh's trying to say about it. I think if you trust your defense, give them a 3-point lead and see if you trust your defense.
Yeah, I would agree.
It was a very strange play. And by the way, Trevor Lawrence lost four fumbles yesterday. First player in history to lose four fumbles in a game. Them is naughty numbers.
Five total turnovers for Lawrence as well.
It was, and I was thinking yesterday as I'm looking at, you know, DraftKings and Prize Picks numbers and all, I'm thinking, man, that kid looks like he is really becoming a star now. And then part of the education, still could have won, but part of the education yesterday was a turnover fest, man. It was brutal.
It was a lot of that. It was not a pretty day of the NFL yesterday. It was a lot of sloppiness around the league. All right, thank you, Los. Coming up next, I will offer the same reminder to Georgia fans today that I offered to Braves fans back in May. Please stop spelunking your ass.
What?
I don't remember giving that advice. But since I sounded like I was in a bathroom, must have been great advice. Good acoustics on that cut. We'll talk about my advice next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.